I want to talk to you something a little bit different today on Mother's Day. It seems like we can always count on a Mother's Day sermon on Mother's Day, and Mother's Day always falls on Sunday, and on Father's Day we get a Father's Day sermon. But I wanted to talk to you about something just a little bit different this morning. I want to talk to you about the treasure of a spiritual mother and the implications of those things in your lives, because you all know that we all have spiritual mothers in our lives. And like I said, they could be men, because it's the person who gives birth to us in the Spirit, who has led us to Christ. And we're going to look at that from Timothy, the second book of Timothy, the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and see if we can't glean a couple of principles from that. So, would you follow along with me as I read? I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded now lives in you also. Would you bow your heads and would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on this Mother's Day, and we ask that you would teach us, Lord. We open our hearts, and we want to learn about you, Jesus. We want to learn about what this really means, this treasure of a spiritual mother, so that we could appreciate truly the sacrifice that goes on in spiritual mothers, and so that, Father, we might be motivated to become spiritual mothers, so that the lost might come in and that you might use us to bring glory to your name. Father, we ask you all of these things, and we ask them in your Son Jesus' holy and precious name. And all of his people said, amen. Amen. Okay, from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also. The context of this scripture: Paul has been imprisoned in Rome. He was imprisoned one time, he was cut loose, but then he's been brought back into prison again for the second time, and this will be his last time. The Emperor Nero will have his life this time, will have him killed, and he will be a great martyr for the faith. He is in prison in a very dismal situation, and he is crying out for fellowship as he writes these letters to young Timothy. Timothy is the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he has been pastoring this Ephesian church, and he is Paul's guy in Ephesus. He is a very young man, and he has a mother whose name is Lois, his grandmother's name is Lois, and his mother whose name is Eunice. And these women have played an incredible part in young Timothy's life, in guiding him in the faith and leading him to what God has called him to do, which was to pastor the Lord's church. Paul is writing out of a heartfelt desire that he misses Timothy. He wants Timothy actually to come to him. He'll say in other chapters that, please bring the scrolls with you. Bring the books so that I can study Timothy. And this was written about between 63 and 68 A.D. after the death of Christ. And there's this cry in his heart when he tells Timothy to remember these things, to bring these things forefront in his life so that he can go forward with what God has for him to do. What does he mean when he says sincere, your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice? I think one of the most important elements of this little portion of this verse is to recall that we cannot give what we don't have. We cannot minister to others to a higher level than what we are personally. It's a ceiling on what we're able to do. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, the sincere faith that you've gotten from your grandmother and from your mother Eunice. And it's an important word in this small little chunk of text, because it has to do with, and the King James uses the word I don't know if some of you are King James folks, it uses the word unfeigned. It's unreserved. It's without pretext, without context. It's an honest faith. It's a true faith pertaining to being genuine, sincere, lacking in pretense or show, it's genuine. And this is the one word that just really stuck in my mind as I was studying this week, was this idea that Lois and Eunice had a faith that was without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Paul is telling Timothy, he says, you have been given a faith from your mother and your grandmother that's a genuine faith. It's a faith that's sincere, it's honest, it's true. But it's a faith that comes without hypocrisy. It's a faith that comes that flows out of the truth of the relationship of Jesus Christ in their lives. It's not a faith that puts on shows. It's not a faith that puts on pretenses that kind of helps us kind of, well, we got to put on our best face forward. It's a faith that said, this is real in my life, and I'm not being a hypocrite about it. These people, these women were, Paul is saying, the chiefest of apostles is saying, these women were true believers in the faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. The fundamental from the message, from the fundamental fact of existence, is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's this deep truth that abides in a person. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. And then the writer of Hebrews is going to go on and tell us over and over, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Gideon, by faith all these fathers of the faith. You see, this is the kind of faith that Lois and Eunice had, that they were able to give to young Timothy. It was a faith that was real in their hearts. It was without hypocrisy. And it's that kind of genuine faith that causes it to be such an incredible treasure. And this is my principle this morning. Brothers and sisters, treasure your spiritual mothers. Treasure them. What do I mean when I say treasure? I mean, raise them up to high esteem. Yes, fleshly mothers, mothers that give birth and are mothers in the flesh, are to be highly esteemed, as we saw this morning in the video clip. But also, don't neglect your spiritual mothers. And each and every one of us have spiritual mothers. And I believe that there are multiple spiritual mothers in our lives. There are people, men and women, who have led and guided us in the faith and have showed and demonstrated a genuine faith. You probably think in your mind's eyes, I'm thinking in mine right now, of some folks who I could say had a genuine faith. And that genuine, without hypocrisy, that true faith, it guides me even to this day. You know, I have very good friends. Back in the West Coast, I'm in Bend, Oregon, some friends, Kevin and Laurie, who, sincere faith. Are they perfect? No, I'm not saying they're perfect. But Kevin and Laurie were there for me in my early 20s as I was going through just incredibly difficult times. They stood by me, and they guided me in the road of faith. They were faithful to me, but they were faithful to the truth. They were faithful to the message. They were faithful. They were honest. They let me see who they really were as a person. But quality mothers and brothers in the faith. Treasure your spiritual mothers, for theirs was a genuine faith. Theirs was a genuine, it's true. It's without hypocrisy. You know who these are in your life. Mark them. Set them aside. And this Mother's Day, pick up the telephone. Get in the car. Whatever time or whatever you have, send a card. whatever you can do to remember your spiritual mothers in the faith. Yes, remember your earthly mothers, but also remember those who gave so much to you to increase you in the ways of the Lord. From 2 Timothy verse 5 again, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother's Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, this faith, it indwells people. It comes inside of them to dwell, to live in a place, to become a part of your life. It's where you live. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. To remain in a place, to find psychologically or spiritually, to be, to live in, to dwell, to reside. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, from Romans 8:8, the sin that resides in me, that it's in me, this sincere truth. And that's what sets these people apart. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. See, it's an amazing thing when you think about spiritual mothers, what they give to us. I think about these men and women in my life, and I think what they've done and given in my life, and I think, I've got to give that back to others. I want to be a spiritual mother to other people. I want to lay my life down. You know, in another scripture, you'll see where, I believe it's in Titus, it says that Paul says to Titus, he says, younger women should be nurtured by older women, that they should be guided and directed in their faith, that we should have our lives intertwined with one another, that we should be connected spiritually as a faith that is real. I mean, at first, your faith has got to be real. It can't just be in word and word only. It must be in deed and in action and in actual life. From Acts 16:1, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was Greek. Well, this is from the book of Acts. Paul is talking about Timothy. Paul is talking about Timothy's mother and Timothy's father. It says that Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a Jew, but she was a believer. She led him in the things of Christ. It's a pretty well accepted understanding that his father was a Greek, but was a non-believer. And so the home that Timothy grew up in, and some of you will relate to this, was probably a very strong understanding that it was a home of mixed believer and unbeliever. And so there, any of you who've grown up in that kind of a situation or currently have that kind of situation in your own home, you have an understanding of the tension that can be involved in that, that it's not a very fun dichotomy to have to live under. But these women who were genuine in their faith, who were sincere, who were trustworthy, and I can see it in my mind's eye. I see this picture of the grandmother leading Lois, the grandmother leading the mother Eunice, who then leads the son Timothy to Christ. Think about those relationships in your own life as you consider what is your part in this world and your part in relationships about being a spiritual mother. Being someone who people can look to and say, that person nurtured me. And consider all the nurturing that's gone on in your life that someone has done. And think about Timothy, whose father didn't know Jesus, so you can, all the things that go along with that. But those women, those men in your life are spiritual treasures, brother and sister. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. We're talking to Timothy again. Paul is writing Timothy. It's in the same book that we were in from 2 Timothy verse chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul is in this cell, in this jail cell, getting ready to be executed by Nero. And he's instructing Timothy, and he's trying to help him to remember all that has been done for him so that he will stay true to the faith. He'll stay true to what God has for him to do in the church at Ephesus. This is a very large church, and the pressure's on a young man who is, what the scriptures tell us and help us to believe, is somewhat timid, somewhat not out there, not kind of a bold type person, but a rather reserved type person. Because you know those from whom you've learned it. And here's what I want you to catch from this scripture, from 2 Timothy. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Remember, we're talking about spiritual mothers here. And so the understanding that we get is that Eunice and Lois have been teaching Timothy from infancy. From infancy. From just a little tiny baby. They've been mothering him spiritually, continually imparting into his life, continually reading the scripture. I mean, I get the idea that this scripture is, I feel like it's just, you know, the scripture talks about putting the scripture on your forehead, and that's what the Jews did. They had phylacteries, little boxes, and they would cut up little pieces of paper, and they put the scripture in the piece of paper, and they put a band around their head, and there's a little box right on their forehead, and the scriptures would contain. They would paste scripture on the door lintels in the homes. So the scripture was continually before them. This is the idea that you get from this. And from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, Lois and Eunice were spiritual mothers. They were giants. And look at what happened. And look at how that bore such wonderful things in Timothy's life. So, church, treasure your spiritual mothers. They are men and women who have died for you and left their life for you, given up everything. Remember them, for they gave their best. They've given their very best to you. They've given you eternal life. They've given you everything that they have, every good thing. And so I guess the bottom line, what I want to impress you with this Mother's Day is I want you to go back and I want you to find them. Sometimes we lose track of them, don't we? It's really easy to live life and to be so busy that we lose track of who these men and women are, where they are, and they don't maintain that position of prominence in our lives. And I think Paul has elevated that here as he writes to Timothy. He said, raise them up in your mind. Go after them. Go find them. Encourage them in their walk. Show them what they've done for you. Define for them how they have given their lives to you. And it doesn't have to be just women. Again, it could be men in your lives. These are spiritual mothers who have given their very best to you. And lastly, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also. This was a sincere faith. It was a faith without hypocrisy. And it was a faith that they lived in, that they dwelled in, and they gave it away. They gave it away freely to Timothy, as you give your faith away to Timothy. And they were to be trusted. But one of the glories of this whole text is that what happened with this faith was a seed that was planted in the soil. It was planted in good soil that was tilled up. You know, they're beginning to till the fields now. I even saw some farmers actually have seed. I've seen some sprigs of corn. They're in the background crossing their fingers, I think. But there's this preparation. And so these seeds have gone into the soil, and the soil is good. It's deep, it's rich, it's dark, and it's wet, and it's full of nutrients. And that soil brings forth a crop. And this is what's happened in your life. If you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things have taken place in your life. If Jesus is number one to you, it means that that soil, somebody put those seeds, and that seed of that sincere faith which they've given unto you, that they gave their, is now growing and raising, and it's producing fruit. And These men and women are to be treasured, treasured because of their gift. And I think secondarily is that it gives me a model of what I should be, doesn't it? Of who I should be in the kingdom of these men and how I should give my life and lay my life down for other people and be a spiritual mother to others. You see, it's not always about me, is it? It's not always about you. It's not always about what I get all the time. It's about what I give. It's about the laying down of our lives for other people and investing in them, mothering them in the most difficult circumstances. I think of some of the circumstances Kevin and Laurie brought me through, and it's just flat frightening. It really is. I mean, I really believe that. I know you find that incredibly hard to believe, that a pastor of a church could his life could have been in such a state that there could have been frightening situations. And I'm telling you, you don't know me. You don't know my history. My history is black and dark. But these people, they came into my life and they mothered me. They mothered me. They loved me. You know what? They loved me just how I was. And they raised me up. And they gave me the word. And they let me see the word of God centralized in their life. I lived with them. I mean, I cared for their children. They washed my clothes. And they were such incredible role models. And you know, as I'm thinking about it today, and I'm thinking about spiritual mothers in my life, spiritual motherhood is not always easy. It's not always the fun thing to do, because there are many times when a mom, a spiritual mother especially, has got to get down to the nitty-gritty, doesn't she? I mean, moms have to say it like it is. They've got to, their job is to guide and direct God's people, the ones that God has put in their path. They must instruct them. That's the treasure of a spiritual mother, is because it's so selfless. It's so wrought with angst and upset, and it's just, oh. But spiritual mothers stay in the game. They stay in the game and they continue to impart wisdom and truth and the Bible from infancy into the believer. And that's why they're to be treasured. That's why they're to be loved and honored in your life and in your memories and in your heart. To dwell. They dwelled in this sincerity. To remain in a place defined spiritually or psychologically, to live, to dwell, to reside. Treasure your spiritual mothers, for their genuine faith has produced good fruit. Hopefully it's good fruit. And that should drive you onto new and high places too, because you want to honor them, don't you? You want to honor their sacrifices in your life. You want to do well for them. You want to do well in the kingdom of God. You want to lay your life down and you want to serve in the same manner that they have served you. You want them to be proud of you, and it's a good thing for them to want them to be proud of you. You know, and it could be like Timothy. It could be a Eunice and a Lois who are your actual in the world mothers. Could be your real mom. For many of you, it is your real mom. And so there's this double duty, not only caring for you and raising you up and nurturing you, but there's a spiritual nurturing. And they're to be treasured because of the fruit, because it's to their credit, because they've stayed in the game with you. Be thinking this morning as we wrap up here, be thinking about what you can do to honor them this morning. How can you go back to them? How can you find them? How can you honor them and give them their just due? From Colossians 1:10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. The putting forth, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, putting forth this good fruit, because Paul spiritually mothered and started these churches. He was their mother. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Oh, if you're a spiritual mother, if you have led people to Christ or nurtured them, you don't have to just lead them to Christ. You can be a person that's spiritually nurturing them. Someone could have come to you in their infancy state. They just came to Christ, and now what your life is being invested in is nurturing them and raising them up. Oh, isn't it a joy? Isn't it a joy to see them blossom in the Lord, to see them grow up and become what God has intended, that they find the purpose in their life and everything that God has called them to? Oh, the great joy. My life has no greater joy. No greater joy. You know, I know she's not here today, so I'll talk about her, and you won't tell her this because so she won't get mad at me. But I think about Patricia. I was going to get through this without choking up, but I think about Patricia Blevins. She's just recently married. I remember her months and months ago, and really, it wasn't years and years. It was months and months. I remember her coming down this aisle to stand right here and to pray and give her life to Christ and surrender to Jesus right at Hamlin Assembly. And I think of what God has done, and that so many of you have been her spiritual mother, and that you have guided her, and it's produced such wonderful fruit, hasn't it? I mean, and she is growing in the Lord, and she's becoming what God wants her to be, and it's just a pleasure, isn't it? Is there any greater pleasure than to find and to see and to raise a child up in the Lord? No. This is the highest. This is as high as it gets. This is as cool and as wow as it gets in the kingdom of God. To be able to say that I was a part, just a part, just a small little portion of this person's life being their mother in the Lord. Because they are such an incredible treasure, these people that do this. I'm going to close with this scripture from Matthew 13. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find! And proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise money to buy that field. That's the treasure. That's the treasure of a spiritual mother. If you are a spiritual mother, you are a treasure this morning. And I want to encourage you in your work. I want to encourage you in your work at Hamlin with God's people as you reach out and as you mother and you give of your life. But I also want to remind you on the other side, the flip side, to find those spiritual mothers in your life. And not just today, your whole life. And to go back to them and to remember what they've done. To remember their sincere faith, their non-hypocritical faith, the truth of the faith that lived in their heart. Remember what they gave. Remember what they laid, how they laid their lives down, how they put up with you. Do you know what I mean? And so much of it's the truth. Putting up with us. Putting up with us. And continue to bring that fruit forward so that the blessings of the Lord will go down, not just from Lois, Grandma, to you. You got to remember, this is 65 A.D., there hadn't been a whole lot of history for the church at this point. Paul was running around opening up churches all around Europe. And so we got a grandmother in the Lord, we got a mama in the Lord, and then we've got a pastor in the Lord. Can you imagine how much spiritual treasure, spiritual motherhood has been going forth in the church? I think it's a byword of what the church is supposed to be. That young men, older men are supposed to be nurturing, spiritually mothering younger men. Older women in the Lord are to be spiritually mothering and raising up the younger women in the Lord. It's a treasure. It's a treasure in the eyes of God. It's a treasure in the eyes of the Lord as He looks at us and says, "Well done. You have truly laid your life down for another." So on this Mother's Day, I'll close with this. Worship team, please. Thank you. Go get them. Find them. Wherever they are, look them up. Get on the internet. If you don't have the internet, call somebody who will help you find them on the internet. You can find anybody on the internet. It's absolutely unbelievable who you can find on the internet. And find them and get to them and just pick up the telephone, drop them a card in the mail, go see them and look at them and say, you know what? If there are any number of people in my life who are my spiritual mothers, you are one of them. And I'm thankful.